right, good morning to you. Glad you're here in the adult Bible class this morning, and what a blessing this week has been. And we had a great victory last night, of course, and you're aware of that, but so glad to see you this morning. And that was some good singing there a minute ago, wasn't it? All right. Can't remember, after you hear him sing like that, you can't remember why we ran him off, you know?
I remember.
You remember? That's good. All right, take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. You know, my memory's not so good, so. Colossians chapter number 1. It's good to have the Marshalls with us. It's been a blessing. And Restorathon certainly was a blessing. And even maybe one of the, all of them are. We've had 17 of them, but maybe this one will go down as one of those really special ones. And so excited about that. And thank you for everybody that had a part in that. And that's kind of what influenced my thoughts this morning. Colossians chapter 1. It is good to see Julia and Jessica's brother Rick here today also. And his wife and their 4 children are here. And they get to have a mini family reunion here. And I've also often said, I don't know if I can go without saying it this morning, he's the one Sal child that I respect the most. He's the only one that didn't marry a Marshall out of the bunch. Amen. So he's here today, and we're glad to have them also. Colossians chapter 1, I want to talk about the hope of the gospel. You'll see that here in verse number 23, and sometimes I think we read over that and don't actually understand what it means. When you get to Colossians, when you get to Ephesians and even Philippians, but Ephesians and Colossians, you're dealing with some pretty advanced truth that God has given us in this day and age, doctrinal truth. I'd say it's advanced. I know we go for the devotions, and the devotions are good, the inspirational thoughts, but you're getting in some pretty heavy material here, and I would give you something light and fluffy this morning, but that makes, I have to study harder to do that than I do just to go to the scripture, so you get what I like today, okay? Colossians chapter 1, I want to talk about the hope of the gospel. Now, there's some great verses leading up to verses 22 and 23, but that's where I want to spend my time this morning, is Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Thank you for being here. It got a little windy yesterday with the blizzard that we had. It was just a blizzard. It's a Florida blizzard, just no white, fluffy stuff with it, okay? Did you hear about the big blizzard they had, you know, up in the farm country up north? You know, sometimes you just get snowed in, I guess. That's never happened to me in my life, but I guess it's possible to be snowed in. And up somewhere like Minnesota or somewhere if you live there. But the old country church, you know, farmland, the preacher, the blizzard came just like that was predicted. The big blizzard came. Everybody was snowed in. The pastor, he had a young family, had a few kids, and one that was just a baby. And he says, you know, honey, I don't know who's going to show up today, but I'm going to make sure I'm at the church house in case anybody shows up for Sunday church. But since we have the baby and everything, the kids don't need to be out in this kind of weather. You stay home. I'll go by myself, and I'll see who shows up. Well, the pastor was there. He did his best to get things going and tried to get some heat in the building, but nobody showed up. And right before Sunday school was about to start, one lone farmer showed up all by himself. He came in the building, and pastor kind of moseyed on over to him and said, well, it's just me and you here today, Farmer Bill. He says, what do you want to do? Do you just want to call today? Because the farmer looked at the pastor and said, you know, preacher, when it's time to feed the cows, if only one cow shows up, I still feed them. The pastor says, you know what? You got a point there, Farmer Bill. And so he mounted the pulpit. He didn't just go up there. He mounted the pulpit. And he began to preach, man. He preached and he preached from Genesis all the way through the revolutions. He just laid it out there. I mean, an hour came and went, an hour and a half came and went. And finally, about an hour and 45 minutes later, he said, amen and amen. And he walked up to Farmer Bill, sitting right there on the front row, and said, well, what do you think about that, Brother Bill? He's like, preacher, I told you if one cow shows up, I still feed him, but I don't give him all the feed. So I'm glad you're here this morning. We won't give you all the feed, but we're gonna feed together here. Something important here in Colossians chapter 1. Let's talk about the hope of the gospel. It has to do with our presentation day before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get a little bit of a running start. Verse number 15. I have to go back because there's nowhere to jump in right there except for, we could even go back further than that. But start in verse number 15. We know that Jesus Christ in verse number 14 is the whom. He's the whom that we're in that gives us redemption through his blood. They were just singing about it a moment ago. Both songs were great, but that last song about the cross, it puts you in heavenly places, does it not? So thankful for that. Look at it, talking about the Lord Jesus in verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, same one that gives us the redemption, so same one that is the image of the invisible God, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, whether you can see it or not, and invisible. We talked about some of these thrones, if you can remember back a few weeks ago, whether they be thrones, some of those are visible and some of those are invisible, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If it wasn't for the spoken word of God holding everything together, it wouldn't consist. Everything would fly apart. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body. What is it speaking of when it says that? The body, comma, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That can help you understand. He's the head of the body, and he's the one that came forth from the dead, never to die again. That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, still talking about the Lord Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Now here, back to that song they were singing a moment ago, back to kind of verse 14 and verse 20, they kind of go together. And having made peace, if you have peace with God, the only way you got it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that was accomplished was through the blood of his cross. If water baptism was good enough to wash your sins away, then Christ wouldn't have had to shed his blood. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all things that will be reconciled to God will be reconciled this way. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I'm real glad for that yet now right there in verse number 21, because that's what's available to everybody today, that reconciliation through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable. If you're unblameable, you're unable to be blamed. And unreprovable. If you're unreprovable, you're unable to be reproved in his sight. That's definitely the judgment seat of Christ in view there. Verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached. Notice the tense of that verb, was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Well, there's a whole mouthful of feed there. There's a ton of feed right there, and we can't deal with all of it today. So I just want to look at verses 22 and 23 for a little bit, even though I do want to get a little bit of a running start, and that's why I read it. But the only way to be reconciled today, you know what being reconciled is, right? People talk about irreconcilable differences. So reconciliation is not possible because of the differences that have came between maybe a husband and a wife, something like that. So they're irreconcilable and they move legally to change their steps. And when it comes to our relationship to God, you understand that something's came between us and our maker. Something came between us and our creator. And if it was not for the advocacy, if it was not for the intervention and the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mediation, then we would not be able to be reconciled. But because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, and he came, and even though the sin was against him, he's the one that took that sin and took it away and washed it away through a work that he told us to do? No, through the work that he already did for us. The blood of his cross. What a blessing that is. Do you understand that it doesn't matter who somebody is today, that they're able to be right with God again? They're able to be reconciled? That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're told that we that have been reconciled now have the ministry of reconciliation, and that we stand in Christ's stead saying, be ye reconciled to God. How? Through the blood of his cross, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great news right there. That's the gospel. That's the ministry of reconciliation that we all have. I've been thinking a little bit about this because, you know, it's not fun. It's not easy to ask people for stuff. I know some people can do it a little bit better than others, but, you know, that's not something I like to do, is ask somebody for something. And when you have a Restore-a-thon, you're going to find yourself asking somebody for something, asking them to call, asking them to give their money, asking them to give their money again, asking them to give their money so they can encourage somebody else to give their money. You know, I'm going to ask you to do this on the basis I can ask somebody else to do the same thing you're doing. You know, that we have to do all that kind of stuff, and that's awkward. And when you're, when you're in evangelism or something, you learn to ask a little easier than maybe others. But I'm just kidding around a little bit. But it's hard to ask somebody for something. So when you start thinking about it, it's not really us asking for ourselves, of course. There's the human side of things, and it takes the practical things of this earthly life to keep things practically running, okay, like money, like funds, like being able to pay the bills at the end of the month and hoping there's more money than there is month. Sometimes there's more month than there is money. You have to worry about those types of things, but here it is. We're not asking for ourselves. In a sense, just like we stand in God's stead, telling those that are still in their sin, that aren't right with God, to get right with God and be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have a ministry like the radio station that's able to do that 24/7, then you're once again, you're asking somebody to get in on something that God is doing. You're asking them to get in on that ministry of reconciliation. So it starts making you think more about less about the human side of it and more about the eternal side of it. It starts making us think about, when it's all said and done and our earthly life is over, what did we do down here? What decisions did we make that actually counted for the Lord Jesus Christ? Counted for that ministry that he's given us of reconciliation. So you start thinking that way. When you start thinking that way, you can go to the scripture and see that the Holy Spirit's been thinking that way for a long time, trying to help us think that way, trying to help us understand that there's only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Little poems like that, little rhymes like that, even if I didn't say it right, that helps us more sometimes. I don't know why that latches onto our brain better than some of the plain scripture that we have. But yet we have to live above ourselves, beyond ourselves. We have to be able to live with eternity in view and make decisions and make investments that count for eternity. And that's what this is trying to do, help us understand that there's going to be a presentation day. And on that presentation day, we need to be able to be unblameable and unreprovable. And there's only one way to do that. That's to be in Christ Jesus, continuing in Christ Jesus, continuing in that ministry, continuing in what he has outlined for us to do. So that's what it's talking about. Let me get into that a little bit this morning. Look at verse number 21 again. It talks about how it says, yet now, the last part of it, hath he reconciled, and how did he reconcile us? In the body of his flesh through death, talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God that became a man. He was the Word, the part of the triune God that became flesh, was made flesh, the scripture says. And he took his body and he was put to death in the flesh. But he was quickened by the Spirit, the scripture tells us. He took his body and reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death, tasted death for every man. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You know I have no chance of being holy in my flesh. Zero chance. You know how much of a chance you got? Not any better than me, okay? You might be better than me, but your chance didn't any better than mine. You have zero chance of being holy in your flesh. You also have the same odds when it comes to being unblameable and unreprovable. Because there's something that me and you can be blamed about. We can be blamed. There's probably 613 points where we can be blamed. Okay? And reproved. Reproved. So the only hope of being reconciled and being and having a good presentation day, and by the way, look at it, it says to present you in verse 22. You see that second line, at least in my Bible, to present you. Then the last line, the last three words, in his sight. You see that? To present you, and you skip over the words that we're dealing with here, and it says in his sight. There's no other interpretation of that passage than the judgment seat of Christ. None. That's what that is absolutely dealing with. That's not an application. That's a doctrinal interpretation right there, according to the plain teaching of the context and of Scripture. To present you in his sight. Now there's the if in verse 23. Some people would like to say, well, you'll be saved if you do this. You'll be saved if you do that. And they try to make your salvation in Christ Jesus conditional. Do you understand it's not your salvation that's conditional? That's already assumed there. Your salvation is already assumed. It's your presentation day that's conditional, whether or not you're unblameable, unreprovable, or holy in his sight, or whether you're reproved and unholy and blameable in his sight. Do you see that? I know you don't see none of that. You can only see to my left right now. I understand how that works, all right? We didn't take our, our attention deficit disorder medicine this morning, did we? Okay, that's supposed to be for younger people, I thought. But anyway, it's not about your salvation, it's about your presentation day. And there is an if there. So that means what? It can go one or two ways right there. You can gain or you can suffer loss. Now, I'm not going to go to all the passages because I don't have time for that. I was even thinking about quitting a little bit early, but I don't think we have any, ended like at 12:30 last night, so we don't have any extra video of last night put together for you yet. So I'm going to go all the way to 10 till, okay? Got a few more minutes. But this is dealing with our presentation day. Now, it says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, this is what is conditional. Whether you choose as a believer in Christ Jesus, I'm not talking unsaved right now in Sunday school. This is what's conditional. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and look at it, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now we say, oh, the hope of the gospel. You know what the hope of the gospel is? Something specific. You ever read Titus 2:13 before? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's going to be a glorious appearing. We call it often the rapture, where Christ gloriously appears in the clouds, in the sky. He doesn't come down. His feet do not touch down on planet Earth. No, he gloriously appears. There's a shout. There's the voice of the archangel. There's some things that accompany that. And then we're gathered together unto him. It's a gathering time. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, I beseech you by our gathering together unto him. Talking about his glorious appearing, talking about the church. This is not the resurrection of all the saved of all the ages. This is something particular here. It's the church which he is the head of, that he gathers together and assembles together himself at his appearing, at the rapture. Okay, that is the blessed hope. That is the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, we have a hope. We're going to be gathered together unto him. We're going to be raptured out. And that could happen at any moment, by the way, okay? Not because of verses in Matthew 24, but because of verses in Philippians and Titus and other places like we've talked about before. So that's what that's speaking of. So let me just say this real quick, okay? So when someone moves away from the hope of the gospel, what would that mean? Meaning they don't believe in the rapture of the church anymore? Meaning they don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church anymore? Because that's outlined in Scripture. It was a mystery, and it's been revealed, and now we understand it. And Paul, think about it this way. Paul thought when the Thessalonians got confused, messed up on the hope of the gospel, on the rapture, Paul thought it was a big deal. He didn't say, oh, you know, you're just off by a few years, no big deal. We're all going to the same place. He thought it was a big deal, and he says, man, I greatly desire to come see you to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And by the way, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Yeah. would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He didn't say it's okay to be ignorant. You're doing it, you know, and you're doing it in faith, so it's okay. No, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, because they were ignorant about that. And he had to give them 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, because it's a big deal. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. So I don't care what happens today or who with whatever clout comes out and says, there's no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It all goes together, you know, and we replace Israel and all that kind of stuff. And you have to look to the scripture, measure it by the scripture, and let God be true and every man a liar. Anytime a man drifts away from the clear teaching of scripture, you let him drift away. You just don't go with him. You stay right here with this book, right here. Right here by the book. That is what God has given to us. That's how we measure. That's how we discern. That's how we see. That's how we light our path. That's how we know where to take our steps, because of the precious word of God, the Holy Scripture. Paul thought it was a big deal. When you're moved away from the blessed hope, it's more serious than some think. When you move away from the blessed hope, when you move away from the hope of the gospel, you can stand before God one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. Only believers are there. And you can answer, and you can be reproved, and you can be declared unholy, and you can be blamed. And you can suffer loss. Not your salvation, but suffer loss of position or reward. That can happen. That's serious. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if it seems like troublesome times or almost like tribulation times, or we're in it. You just keep clinging to the truth of God's word. Amen. Think about it. The presentation day, he says, to present you. We want to be holy. We want to be unblameable. We want to be unreprovable in his sight. God's made that possible because of Christ's work on the cross of Calvary. His cross work has done it for us. His cross work has placed us in that position. We just have to continue. That's all we have to do is continue. It's not even really like the Occupy thing that we always say. We got to continue in the faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. And if you stay in this book, I believe it's going to be a lot easier for you to continue in the faith. You get away from this book, it's going to be a lot easier for you to drift away and turn away. That's what Paul says to Timothy. He says to him, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 4, somewhere around there. He says, talking about those believers. We always talk about people outside of our own assembly when we make these applications. But you got to watch out for that, because it's talking to Christians. It's talking to believers that Timothy's preaching to. And he says, they're going to heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. Teachers that aren't concerned about what my word says. They're concerned about what the people want to hear. Concerned to having a broad ministry that reaches so many levels and transcends so many peoples. No, you have to have a teacher that's only concerned with this right here. Preach the word. Not preach what's relevant. Preach what's cutting edge. Preach what's emerging in Christendom. No, preach the word. And if you do that, it's not about your ears itching, okay? It doesn't matter about what man says. It matters about still what God has said, and you continue in it. You continue in the faith. That's where the unreprovable and the unblameable, and that's the only way to be holy. That's the only chance we got. Only shot we got to be holy is in Christ Jesus. And thank God for Christ Jesus, who's made it possible for us to have a great presentation day. Amen. To actually receive reward in our coming eternity when we're in his sight, because we've clung to what he's given us to cling to. Think about it. It's so, so very important. Be not moved away